Sourdough Season. Give it another try. Hey, welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, officially starting, as I mentioned recently, doing Wednesdays only. And so we're live today on the 9th of November, 2022. I'm joined by Ronald Avery out of Seguin. I'm back in the Valley. And I've got some reflections on the election, that's for sure, but not the usual drivel or pablum that you're going to hear. That's for sure. And so at any rate, we are video simulcasting, as we often try to do, usually with success. Welcome home, Julie says. Thank you. And that video simulcast goes to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /stop the presses. And so there you have it. You can check that out kind of in real time. It's best to watch it as it archives after the show, which is usually automatic without too many glitches. But how are you doing today, Ron?
Real good. How are you doing?
A little tired from the sojourn, that's for sure. At any rate, interesting things to reflect on. Revolution by ballot, Ron and I are calling this more or less today. We talked a little bit off the air, as we often do. And I'll talk about the midterm election results to a degree, of course, and the ups and downs a little bit, and anomalies here and there. I can mention one. Last night on ABC News with David Muir, the national ABC News broadcast, get this, Ron, with 3% of the vote in, they declared Chuck Schumer the senator winner of New York for his Senate seat. 3% of the vote in. And then they'd show another race, House, Senate, Governor, and it'd be like 25 or 35% of the vote in and no winner declared.
Strange.
Anomalies on top of anomalies on top of anomalies. I can say anomalies better than I can spell it. That's one of those words I never spell right. It's not as bad as hors d'oeuvres, but it's pretty bad. I rarely spell that word right. At any rate, so I'm watching this stuff last night, and I was concerned from my home state of Michigan about Proposal 3, which, get this, Ron, would enshrine in the Michigan state constitution the right to an abortion. Now, we've been through this. When Samuel Alito, the barrister on the Supreme Court, one of the six conservatives, when he wrote the deciding opinion, or the, you know, wrote the main opinion when they overturned Roe v. Wade back in June, after nearly 50 years of abortion on demand and well over 60 million abortions, 60 million deaths of the preborn, defenseless preborn. So that's overturned. But the key thing in his writing, in his opinion, was that there never was and never could have been a right to an abortion. Now, as we've talked about, a right is something different than just a prerogative or a choice. A right is something limited because only certain things can be rights. And it's a certain phenomenon in life. It's a certain part of the human experience that if you try and make everything a right, it diminishes what rights actually exist. And so one of the things that can never be a right or enshrined as a right in a federal or a state constitution or by a court decision is the right to kill another human being. You cannot commit murder and call it a right. Now, self-defense, where against your better wishes you have to kill some sort of assailant, is different because you're defending your own life in the process. Okay, so Michigan has Proposal 3, and I went to a Catholic church up there during my Michigan break, and they had literature, you know, please meet us at the corner of so-and-so and help promote our view and work against Proposal 3. And I didn't have time to do that, but I wrote some letters to the editor, to local papers, vote against, please vote no on Proposal 3. But here's the thing. Should there have ever been a vote at all, a referendum in Michigan, yesterday, November 8th in the midterms, on Proposal 3 to make abortion a right in the Great Lakes state. And if you look at political science in this country, Ron, at least the original political science, the answer is an emphatic no. So, yes, there was this battle. Yes, there was this vote. The pro-life people wanted Proposal 3 defeated. The pro-aborts wanted it passed. It's democracy in action. This is what happens when the court overturns Roe at the national level while it's left to the states. Well, leaving things to the states sounds good. And in some states, it did not result in a referendum. The legislature just took the Supreme Court's decision under advisement and basically said, accordingly, we will restrict abortion to a very strong degree. But Michigan, led by clueless Whitmer, the ice queen, the governor, who supposedly got reelected, the voting machines reelected her, you might say, Michigan, oh so progressive, decides to have this referendum and conjure up or create a right that Alito affirmatively declared never has existed, the right that never was, the right to an abortion. So the question isn't so much, Ron, should Proposal 3 be defeated or not? The question is, should Michigan voters ever have voted, given the ignorance peddled by the mass media cartel on abortion and countless other issues, should democracy have been used to decide whether babies live or not in Michigan? So it's not the issue of Proposal 3 being approved or not. It's that there should never have been a Proposal 3. And this is where I think Americans miss the boat in the almost total ignorance they have, I'm sorry to say, of political science. And that ignorance is fostered mainly, not exclusively, but mainly by the mass media cartel along with the educational and academic circles. But see, this is where democracy gets really dangerous, right, Ron? Revolution by ballot. Get the people ignorant, get their emotions up, but their brains turned almost all the way off. Hand them a ballot, and they hang themselves. And now tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of babies, because other states are restricting abortion, all those babies will then be snuffed out in Michigan because that will be the mecca for the pro-aborts, among a few other states. So this is democracy, right, Ron?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. And it has no foundation. That's why the founders and forefathers hated democracy. And that's why we hear about it all the time, because the mass media cartel loves democracy, because it controls the public mind. The mass media cartel controlling the public mind can therefore control legislation and what gets voted on. They treat the voting booth as if some kind of a magic box. And you step into this magic box and you make anything appear. You make a rabbit jump out or a horse jump out, or a right, a so-called right to jump out. But the problem with that is that nothing can come out of a voting booth that you didn't take into the voting booth. No right can come out of a voting booth that the people don't take into it. And people don't have a right to do those things. They don't, obviously people commit errors, but you don't really have a right to commit errors. You just commit them. And it's like why they never attach responsibility to this is amazing. I go have sex, I get pregnant, and now I don't want the baby. Well, that's like going, well, I'm going to go get drunk tonight. I'm going to slam into somebody accidentally with my car because I'm drunker than a skunk. And it's okay. It's okay because it was my car and okay, so I ran it. But I have a right to drink. You know, but do you have a right to be drunk and then hurt somebody? I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, I don't know how they come up with rights for that. You know, it's just...
That's a good analogy, Ron. And So the people go into a voting booth, like you say, it becomes the magic booth, and accurately counted or not, the image is that it's accurately counted, and that then the right to vote is seen as conferring upon the people the right to empower other people through their vote to do things that would normally be considered a felony. So you can't go just kill a baby yourself, pre-born or born, go into some clinic or hospital, go into a maternity ward and stick a knife in it. Yet you can cast a ballot for a proposal like Proposal 3 to authorize a doctor or a quasi-doctor or some fly-by-night medical guy or whoever performs these abortions to authorize them to stick the knife in the baby, something that you don't have the right to do yourself, and yet you confer that right upon the pregnant woman and the abortionist to do the very thing that would normally be a felony and infanticide. All through the magic booth, the magic box, the voting booth. Revolution on ballot. I mean, when you consider what that is, you're literally creating a power that no one is supposed to have, and using the booth to confer it upon the abortion industry. And so, accurately counted or not, a vote, an uninformed vote in particular, becomes a weapon. And so the Michigan legislature should have simply taken the overturning of Roe under advisement and simply by getting rid of statutes or adding a statute or some basic regulations through the health department of the state, they should have simply implemented something in accordance with Roe.
Well, you know, here's another example, and one that I'm working with or looking at with Dr. Fetzer in his case, is the Seventh Amendment right to a trial by jury. Now, what if the Supreme Court was to rule that all people have a right to trial by jury in their state courts and in common law matters? Now, what if then along comes Wisconsin and says, you know, that's a good idea, but we just don't want to do that in Wisconsin. We're gonna put on the ballot that we don't have a right to trial by jury in Wisconsin because it's too expensive and it's just kind of a hassle. It's a pain in the butt. So we just don't want to do that. So we're going to put it on the ballot that we no longer have a right to trial by jury. I mean, it's just voting. You create something, you create an idea, and then have everybody vote on it. Like it's just a big old club, you know, and you figure out, you just get to vote on what's groovy and what's not groovy. But that's ridiculous because it's already been established by the Supreme Court. What gives a state then the right to just legislatively alter something that's been established for the entire United States? I mean, and that's what happened with the Roe versus Wade. When it got reversed, man, it's reversed. It says, don't be doing that in any state of the union.
Yeah, it's very strange how when Roe v. Wade was in effect, all the states with only minor regulations to the contrary were expected to follow it. But when it's overturned, then they all go their own way.
Like the Supreme Court doesn't mean spit anymore. It sure meant something with Roe versus Wade, but now with reversal, it doesn't mean spit. Well, I mean, that doesn't make sense. The Michigan ought to be just sued out of existence already. Everybody ought to file suit immediately.
Maybe that'll happen. I've got some contacts up there that I'll be talking about these things too, and we'll find out for future RBN shows or articles that I might publish, ukcolumn.org, etc. I'm now regular on ukcolumn.org every Monday, ladies and gentlemen, and that's live at 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern, but it's best to watch it archive, and that's by about 10 o'clock Eastern at the latest. It's already archived. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and I'm on there every Monday, ukcolumn.org. And recently, I discussed some of these issues on there. Where are we at time-wise? Let's be a little bit careful. Oh, we got about 4 minutes before the first break. And when I go into the segment between the first break and the bottom of the hour and or after the bottom of the hour, I've got some visuals to share. But it's interesting, too, in terms of election accuracy, touching on that for a little bit, and we'll get back to revolution by ballot, although that's more or less the underlying theme of today's entire show. Okay, we've got a caller already. We'll get to that at the short segment after the first ads. I would ask the caller to hang on. But not only did we see Chuck Schumer declare the winner of his longtime New York U.S. Senate seat with 3% of the vote in, we've seen Carrie Lake, the former news anchor, and get this, Ron, Carrie Lake running for governor of Arizona is a former member of the mass media cartel. She saw through the light. She got out of there. And now she's been lecturing reporters on just how bad the media is. She detected there was an agenda and she got out. And we need to see a lot more like that. We need to see more people who are in the mass media fold bolting that thing, getting out of there and exposing what's going on. We need to create incentives for them. Let them write books. Let them make lots of money writing their books.
Yeah.
So they can withstand the financial impact of leaving their job maybe sooner than they'd rather leave it. But Carrie Lake is criticized resoundingly by the British press, the independent, the august British press that thinks they know what's going on in America. And, of course, across the American mass media cartel, criticized for having some doubts about the 2020 presidential election. Well, dozens of voting centers, something like one-third, I'll get the exact figures later, at least one-third of the voting centers, not just the machines, but the locations that you vote at in Maricopa County, the most populous, most well-populated part of Arizona where most of the people and the voters live, one-third of the voting centers just stopped working. She complained. Her and some other plaintiffs filed a quick motion to try and get a judge to leave the polls open a little bit longer. And, you know, the actual election day is on a Tuesday, so people, their time is a little bit tighter on getting out to vote. And so going to some other location that's not screwed up might take time. The traffic can be very heavy in Phoenix and other parts of Maricopa County. We've been there ourselves, Ron. And so now the media is calling her an election denier just because she complained, among others, complained that the machines at all these dozens of locations just quit working. She's not denying anything. She's just saying the machine stopped. What are we going to do?
Fix it. Yeah, fix it.
And
there's
so the
a problem. Fix it.
Anybody, and even some Democrats in Nevada, and again, I'll have more details later in the show most likely, even some Democrats in Nevada, the machine stopped in Clark County, a very populated area there around Las Vegas, and the Democrats were rebuffed by the judge. You can't complain about these machines not working. Just shut your mouth. We're not going to keep the polls open. And get this, under Nevada law, they're required to keep the polls open a certain length of time. And when those polls were temporarily or closed due to the machines screwing up, they didn't even reopen them and broke Nevada law. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome back to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson. We're in that short segment before the bottom of the hour, and it's the 9th of November, 2022. I'm joined by Ron Avery, and we do have a caller, Laura from Michigan. How's it going?
Hi, Mark and Ron. I have to tell you, I'm really sick. I'm sick of what happened here in Michigan. You know, a few years ago, we had a referendum against abortion. And they voters voted it down. Totally. We had 2 referendums, that and homosexual marriage. It was voted down.
Oh, yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, they want abortion? I don't believe it.
Yeah, it's difficult to believe. I know the big cities, Saginaw, Flint, Detroit, can have a bevy of liberals that are pretty deluded by reading the New York Times all the time or watching the local TV news, which could actually warp your brain. I'd rather be dropped on my head from a 3-story building. At least I'd go out in a proud swan dive. But yeah, I still think the voting machines decided this more than the people. Every sign I saw, I was in the Whitmore Lake area. I was in Ann Arbor. I was near Detroit over about a 4-week period in September, October. And I saw endless signs against Proposal 3 and almost no signs for it.
Right.
What about right. From your perspective?
I think so, too. Everybody I know, was against Proposal 3. Just my family, 4 of us, voted all against Proposal 3. So, also, do you remember me telling you about that friend of mine, Cal Zastro, who was the head of a Constitution Party for a while, but he's a pro-life activist. He and his daughter just got indicted by the Department of Justice.
I've met Cal, and I knew Dennis James, the late Dennis James, who was a friend of Cal's. Indicted for what?
For praying in front of the Planned Parenthood. praying and singing hymns.
And what would the charge be?
Part of it was just a conspiracy to block it. See, whenever there's a conspiracy, that means they don't have any facts. My son said you can go to Facebook and look up Cal Zastrow, Z as in zebra, A-S-T-R-O-W, and get a hold of him if you want to.
Yeah, and Cal is C-A-L.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too. Isn't it interesting, Laura, how...
There's 11 of them. 11 are indicted.
It's interesting how the average person is a conspirator, but big government and big corporations with all the money, all the power, and all the incentive, and every reason in the world to conspire, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist if you think they conspire, but the average hapless citizen just trying to eat their way through in the world is an unindicted felon, 24/7, 365, and a would-be conspirator. What about praying in front of a abortion clinic could be, even if they blocked a sidewalk or were a little bit, you know, forceful in that way, how could that be conspiracy? Conspiracy to do what?
Right.
Any other thoughts?
I just think that it's that faith, what is it? Something about the access to a clinic, you can't. I don't know, I'm sure Al Kelden, he's been doing this a long time.
Right. Bill Moore.
It'd be good to interview him.
Yeah, the Constitution Party, a.k.a. U.S. Taxpayers Party, Bill Moore, M-O-H-R, he recently passed away. And I was rather shocked to hear that, but that's a good bunch of people that have struggled to get on the ballot against the Republican-Democrat duopoly there and stay on the ballot. It's been a real uphill battle, but I don't mind saying I voted for all their candidates that I could when I could, back when I was a Michigander, running for Board of Regents, running for this or that, school board, county board, whatever it might be. But Laura, appreciate your call. Unless you have something to add, I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, thank you. That's it. I just wanted to tell you about Cal. And I think we need a sledgehammer revolution. Take sledgehammers to all those machines, voting machines.
Remember what they used to do with gambling machines when gambling was illegal. The sheriffs would send in the deputies with their hammers. Remember that, Ron? Back in the 30s and 20s. Or breaking up
a
still.
That's what we need now.
When someone was making moves.
Revolution.
Exactly, Laura. I'll say that's metaphorical for right now. But the hammers would go against the gambling machines. The hammers would go against the moonshine stills. The deputies would be out with those. But if Sheriff Mack or somebody with the Constitutional Sheriff's Group talks about voting machines, well, those are safe. You can't touch those. We'll be right back.
Oh, I think pretty soon we're going to have to.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Now, welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses here on 9 November 2022. Your host, Mark Anderson, doing this show Wednesdays only here on RBN. And that's from 2 to 3 Central, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. My partner here, as usual, is Ron Avery. We're doing the video simulcast where the video part of this show automatically archives to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /stop the presses. Spread the word. Check it out. RBN needs much more viewership. Let's boost it. Let's make donations to RBN, even if it's $5 here, $5 there. We've got to build the alternative media, especially the better parts of it, against the mass media cartel, our real rulers, in conjunction with the banksters. And Ron, I'm showing on the screen now, and I'll describe it for audio-only listeners. The Brookings Institution, the Bilderberg-connected Brookings Institution. Remember, Bilderberg is not so much an organization itself, but a collage of pre-existing organizations that meet and form kind of a public-private quasi-planning-slash-legislative body while acting like they don't do anything important. But Brookings here, one of the constituent think tanks traditionally of Bilderberg, published this article, Ron, and get the headline. You gotta laugh, right? Democracy on the ballot. What do election deniers want? Democracy on the ballot. See, this stems from creepy Joe Biden saying, democracy itself is at stake in the midterm elections. Grr. And so what did they mean? Well, first of all, they have to ignore all the political science that went into making up our country, right, Ron? And keep saying we're a democracy again. Why? Because the ignorance and untruth and misdirections stirred up by the mass media cartel used to stir people's brains to the point of no return. Then you hand the people a ballot, and their stupidity through the ballot, through the magic ballot box, becomes some kind of assumed law, even though the entire process has been made dishonest and inaccurate to boot. But democracy on the ballot. So they're saying election deniers, by wanting accuracy, want to get rid of democracy. So democracy and accuracy are somehow mutually exclusive. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around all this. But what it says in this particular article, Ron, and how contrary this is to the founders' political science will become all the more evident. And then we'll talk about that founding political science. But it says here that, the explosion of the pandemic occurred in 2020, and the election denier movement, sparked along. And in the first 8 months of the year, when most decisions about the fall elections were being made, over 138,000 Americans had died of COVID. And here Brookings is peddling the same old government narrative when there was all sorts of anomalies and ambiguities about these so-called COVID deaths. Were they really COVID deaths? And it goes on to say basically that amid all these hospitalizations and all of this and all of that with COVID, that it was absolutely justified to make elections almost completely mail-in affairs, mail-in ballots. And it goes on to say, millions of Americans were reluctant to go to public places for fear of COVID infection and so on and so forth. But as the article goes along, it says, it says here that President Trump, all these changes convinced President Trump that the availability of mail-in and absentee ballots would lead to enormous fraud and provided part of the basis on which Trump would declare the 2020 election fraudulent. This was new in American elections, Brookings claims. Never before had these types of voting been an issue. Now, that is absolute BS. I was an election official for 1 year in Pawpaw Township, Michigan. You had absentee voting for the homebound, for seniors in assisted living facilities, and people could assist them with filling out the ballot if they filled out their name in the literature and ascertained under penalty of perjury that they helped the voter vote the ballot. And they could also deliver the ballots on behalf of the voter. But absentee balloting, a.k.a. mail-in balloting, in Michigan was a very strictly limited and highly regulated enterprise. To have it widespread would have caused all sorts of problems. It was difficult enough as it was. You had to have certain excuses that were allowed. Early voting practically didn't exist yet in 2003, 2004. And so saying that never before had these types of voting been an issue, they've always been an issue. It's always been strictly limited. So overnight, to go from strictly limited absentee balloting, highly regulated, and to go overnight from that to almost universal mail-in balloting, absentee and otherwise, is an extremely dramatic change fraught with all sorts of potential and real problems. And then Brookings complains that the election deniers' platform is to change how votes are cast. Well, of course you would. You'd go back to tradition, and you'd cast votes on a paper ballot, handwritten. And then Brookings fears that election deniers would change how votes are counted. Of course, you publicly count the votes in the open and don't let those ballots leave the local precinct in each county. Make sure they're counted first before the chain of custody is broken, and do the count out in the open on live camera with the public watching live and on camera, live and on the internet, live stream, and you would have an absolutely open public count conducted by members of the public, not vendors from third-party voting machine companies. And then Brookings would also complains that election deniers would change the control of election results. Well, of course you would. You would institute openness, not taking the ballots away and counting them in secret. So touching here, Ron, on not only what... you know, not only that Brookings is saying democracy is on the ballot, but everything the election deniers want to do makes total sense. And just to put a cherry on top, Brookings complains that these damn election deniers would want to limit the number of Dropbox locations, and these pesky deniers would also want to require that Dropboxes be under the physical control of an election official. Well, of course you want them under the physical control of an election official. What else would you want? So you see, these democracy on the ballot types at Brookings, Ron, if you look at it from election accuracy for a little bit, and we'll get into political science a little bit later, but these think tanks are criticizing the so-called deniers for doing the very things that need to be done. And so instead, we're supposed to not do and not carry out any of those corrections, not pursue any of those remedies, and just have trust in democracy and ignore those election deniers that are putting democracy on trial. And through all these ridiculous reforms, why, they might destroy democracy itself.
Well, you know, yes, I agree. They've made a big stretch here from simply wanting election honesty to putting the whole concept of voting at risk. And actually, had democracy been on the ballot, I would have indeed voted against it. We are not a democracy, and I don't know why this message never gets through, and it's simply because the mass media cartel love this concept of democracy because it controls the public mind, and by doing so, it can control the destiny of any nation that votes on everything. Just as we've talked about voting a right to kill fetuses or to kill the unborn baby. There's no such right. But because they vote on it, they vote themselves a right that they have no right to begin with. You can't create rights. You either have them or you don't. You don't go vote for them.
Exactly. And we have a couple callers, including Jason Mangum. We're going to get to that in a second. And we talked about this before the show, Ron. The political science that went into founding this country was what you just said. Rights, there's a certain amount of rights that come from God. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Note the word certain. That means that not everything is a right. There's certain specific rights with which you're endowed by your Creator. And among those rights, and it lists a little bit there, and the thing is that means, and everything in the founders' writings certifies, that rights were not something that you could just create with the flick of a pen or the snap of your fingers or marking on a ballot or pushing a touch screen on a ballot. You can't create a right like you would make a sandwich. And it's just incredible that people believe that not only do they get the right to vote, but they get the right to vote themselves a right that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Are you aware that Jason is with us now, and we have another caller, I think Don from Arizona as well?
Yeah, yes, I'm aware of that. Yeah,
Jason. Oh, okay, sorry.
That's okay. No big deal, Rod. Jason Mangum, I know he doesn't mind me using his full name. He's from South Texas, and he was on the show recently when I had Hesher as a guest. And Jason, how's it going?
I'm doing wonderful.
That's great to hear. What are your 2 cents or 10 cents or 50 cents to throw in here?
Well, with everything that we see and everything we've seen going on in this election cycle is a real indication of where people's hearts are. And I think, you know, before I called in, I said, what really is the thing that I need to say? And I think it really reflects the spiritual atmosphere that is in the population of what we're seeing. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I didn't really see a big red wave that they're talking about. Maybe that's just me. I know down here we had some very important seats to turn, only one of which was turned, but O'Rourke got the popular vote here in this area, but yet Monica won, who is the Republican. So it really goes back to, I believe, is to me, I always look at the temperature and put, kind of put almost like a if you could put a thermometer to see where people are spiritually, you know, and, you know, I think that's the real thing that I want to bring to this is, you know, there's only one way a true Christian votes, regardless of what anybody, this might be, you know, controversial what I say, but there's really only one true way to a true Christian votes. You know, God's eyes, and we have to always remember this, are watching everything that we do. They were watching us as we cast our votes and who we're supporting. And one day we will stand before God and we'll give an account for that. So I think the thing is we've got to start voting based on how God's biblical truth instructs us to do so. And in doing so, we're going to take a stand for righteousness. And too many people are reasoning their ways out, or they support a party that supports abortion and other things. But, you know, we got to stop making excuses and justifying ungodly, immoral, and evil and destructive acts so that they can vote a certain way. You know, they try to justify things. And I think that's really what it comes back to is you really are seeing the heart of people, and you can no longer say, I'm a Christian and I'm going to support these political views based upon this political party. It is absolutely unjust to do so.
Yeah, well said. And sometimes I think that involves not voting, and sometimes recognizing, as Ron and I were talking about, I don't know when you started listening, Jason, but we were talking about, and I'm going to get to the other caller in just a sec, we were talking about how Proposal 3 in Michigan, where they conjured up and created a so-called right to abortion through a popular vote, it's unfortunate that Prop 3 passed and was not defeated. But should Prop 3 have been on the ballot in the first place? Ron and I were asking that question. Do the lives of unborn kids depend now on some majority lottery on who draws the short straw, who draws the long straw? Are we that callous where the lives of future human beings are put on the chopping block just due to some popular vote? You see the irony.
Yeah, there should never, just because you put it on a ballot doesn't mean that it is the right thing. Doesn't make it just because people might vote to approve it. It shouldn't even be there in the first place because it's wicked at its core. It's wrong at its core. I mean, it's immoral at its core, whatever you want, however you want to label those things, you know? So you're absolutely right. So to answer that question from my point of view is no, there are things that you just don't vote on. I mean, you know, that's what people are. There, many of people are in the valley of decision, and many people are making wrong decisions in life. Many people are sinning and doing things. Well, that doesn't, let's put it up to vote and see if it's okay. And then, if you know, you can murder, you can do this, and if the population says it's okay, well, hold on, wait a minute. That doesn't, not how it works. It's still wrong. So there's my point of view on that. Yeah. And that, I believe that's a lot of what we're seeing. That's a lot of what we're seeing with what's happening with how the elections are being handled. That's a lot of what we're seeing of the pulpits of America, if pastors would just get up and just teach their people what the Word of God says, instead of justifying their behavior with some super hyper grace theology that everything can go. You could do anything you want.
You just said it. You take something that's typically illegal, immoral, highly sinful at any rate, and you put it to a vote and suddenly it becomes okay. And so, you know, if a million people do a stupid thing, it's still a stupid thing. So they seek to justify it through some sort of mass approval. Well, if this is what elections are about, we'd be better off without them, except for perhaps your state reps or something. You know, there's an old saying, no good man's ever been discovered by an election. So while I'm all for election integrity and accuracy, there's another hump to get over here. our U.S. senators were supposed to be appointed by the states. Then they enacted the 17th Amendment. They weren't supposed to be popularly elected at all. We were supposed to seat our U.S. senators through state appointment. It's not always up to the voters. And the question is, should it always be up to the voters how people are seated in government? We were only supposed to directly elect the House members. The states would appoint the U.S. senators to represent the states, and the president would sort of be a hybrid between popular vote and the Electoral College. See, so the founders didn't intend for voters to make all these decisions. And we're losing these separations of powers. And as Ron and I have talked about, that's the political science. And the political science behind this country has been skewed, just like medical science with COVID.
And that's how you gain control.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling.
That's how you gain control over the citizens.
Yeah, well, we got another minute or so. Yeah, any final comments, Jason?
No, I just know this. Jesus is the answer for this nation, not our politicians. So we've got to get out there. We've got to be what God's called us to be and not deviate and don't back down. Keep going. Stand in faith.
Appreciate that. And that's Pastor Jason Mangum, ladies and gentlemen. And he and I do worldimpactnews.net together. Lots of articles there, occasional videos. There'll be more. Thanks again for calling, Jason.
Thank you, guys. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, you too. We're going to get to Don from Arizona here in half a millisecond, but that's the thing, isn't it, Ron, that the political science that was put in the test tubes in the laboratory, you might say, that founded this country has been just completely shoved aside, and the mass media cartel steps in and says, oh, no, we don't need states appointing senators. We need democracy. Fill the people's minds with mass media cartel bilge, fill it with junk, and then hand them a ballot.
Yeah, they'll vote for anything.
Yeah, including themselves into slavery.
Absolutely.
At any rate, Don from Arizona. I hope you're still there.
Hello. How are you? Hey, how are you doing there, Ron and Mark? Okay.
Good, Don.
I'm a bit burned to the hubs, but I'm doing okay. Go on.
I want to comment on this, the way they use this word, denier. It started out, I think, Holocaust denier, and then they started talking about climate change denier. Everything is denier. This word deny or denier, it implies that it's built into the word that you are on the side of falsehood and against truth, because you don't deny something that's false. That would be you can dispute. It would be more accurate and more fair to use the word dispute, somebody that election disputer or election questioner. If they use the word denier, you're denying, you can't deny false. You deny truth or you deny reality. It's a psychological trick to use that word, election denier.
Absolutely.
Holocaust denier and...
Hey, Don, how about this one? How about this one? Christ denier. That's what these guys really are. That's what those guys are that are telling us we're deniers of everything. These people are actually Christ deniers.
Yeah, they deny reality, but they have to use that term, because then you're automatically on the defensive. And nobody's denying there was an election. What they're saying is the election was fixed, you know. So I mean, it's
sure.
Like they do with all their words. They carefully pick these words to try to win the deal there. But when all is said and done, Carrie Lake is going to be the new governor, I believe. It's a weird way they count the votes here in Arizona. It takes a couple days, but. They're actually going to win, you know. So
I'd like to think so. Let me chime in there real quick, Don. We got a little bit of time, maybe a couple of minutes yet. Real quick, what you're saying is so valid. It is so correct. Linguistic programming, or neuro-linguistic programming, you might call it. If you say election denier, like you say, the word deny implies that they have the truth and you're denying it. If you just say election denier, they're implying that you deny that there was even an election. Now, if you said election outcome denier, then you're denying the outcome of the election. An election happened, but you don't agree with the outcome. You'll notice that they don't use the word outcome, so they don't even get their own point right. They're, because they've got to know that we're disputing the outcome, not the fact that there was an election at all. But like you say, and I thought about those very same words, you're an election critic, you're an election skeptic, you're an election disputer, you're an election questioner, but more than that, you're an election outcome disputer, an election outcome questioner. See, so they oversimplify the language, they put the word denier in, very deliberate, and they don't just come up with this stuff. Somebody at a university or a think tank is going through this stuff night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year, took out ways to put us in mental chains.
Yeah.
This is a lot of thought goes into this. Don't kid yourself. A lot of thought goes into this. They don't want to stick in. Go on.
CIA works in one way, the CIA, they're involved with public relations firms. I've always been in advertising firms, and so they're you know, every three-letter agency really should be eliminated. CIA, FBI, what other ones? Center Disease Control, anything with three letters should be put out of business. Okay, I'll let you guys go. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks, Ron. I can't think of a three-letter agency that I would keep. Can you, Ron?
Not me. I don't know of any.
I'm struggling. I'm trying to think of one three-letter agency at the federal level that I would keep, and I'm not coming up with anything yet.
Yeah.
That's very well put, Don. I mean, you know, that's it. I mean, this is psychological warfare, and they want to get it to where it's a complete stigmatization to question elections at any level for any reason, and at the same time, they're trying to institutionalize the theft of elections. And it's not that elections can change everything. You and I have talked about this, Ron, as the show winds up. The only thing they're afraid about with honest elections is that some insurgent kind of people will get in and upset the apple cart of the quasi-dissolved or possibly totally dissolved republic. But that's the only thing they really fear, although we want honest elections nevertheless. But thanks again, Ron, for joining me. Thanks, Jason and Don, for calling in, and Laura. And this show runs every Wednesday now, as noted. We'll see everybody next week. Stay tuned for the next show here on RBN. Everybody have a great day.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can.